Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
These are the new voices of power in the United States of America.
We cannot afford to wait. We can't wait and see and hope for the best. I believe in hope, but I also believe in action.
I'm not saying what's in, what's out. I'm just saying that the bottom line must be under $800 billion.
We believe this program should ultimately provide up to $1 trillion in financing capacity, but we plan to start it on a scale of about $500 billion, and we will expand it based on what works.
Do you agree with such a proposal? Are you willing to rule out right here and now any prosecution of Bush administration officials?
So we heard President Obama, Senator Susan Collins, who could sink the stimulus bill all by herself, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, who gave the big address yesterday. Maybe that's the first time you really heard his voice. And who was that last guy? Well, that was Sam Stein from the Huffington Post, the first blogger ever to be called on to ask a question at a primetime White House news conference. It was that primetime Obama newser on Monday night that, by the way, got more viewers than last week's American Idol. Sam Stein is both a blogger and White House correspondent for the Huffington Post. We will talk to him in a minute about today's news. Here is his full exchange with the president on Monday night.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, Senator Patrick Leahy announced that he wants to set up a Truth and Reconciliation Committee to investigate the misdeeds of the Bush administration. He said that before you turn the page, you have to read the page first. Do you agree with such a proposal? Are you willing to rule out right here and now any prosecution of Bush administration officials?
I haven't seen the proposal, so I don't want to express an opinion on something that I haven't seen. What I have said is that my administration is going to operate in a way that leaves no doubt that we do not torture, and that we abide by the Geneva Conventions, and that we observe our traditions of rule of law and due process as we are vigorously going after terrorists that can do us harm. And I don't think those are contradictory. I think they are potentially complementary. My view is also that nobody is above the law. And if there are clear instances of wrongdoing, that people should be prosecuted just like any ordinary citizen. But that, generally speaking, I'm more interested in looking forward than I am in looking backwards. I want to pull everybody together, including, by the way, all the members of the intelligence community who have done things the right way and have been working hard to protect America, and I think sometimes are painted with a broad brush without adequate information. So I will take a look at Senator Leahy's proposal, but my general orientation is to say, let's get it right moving forward.
All right, that clip from the Obama news conference Monday night. With me now, Huffington Post White House correspondent Sam Stein, who asked that question, and New York Times media columnist Alessandra Stanley, who watched the conference on TV and wrote up what was new and different and what wasn't from President Bush's first primetime news conference. Alessandra, Sam, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
Sam Stein, did you get the answer you were looking for from the president?
Well, first off, I can't believe you introduced me with the pretext of voices of power. That's incredibly humbling, and I appreciate that. I don't think it's deserved. Did I get the answer? No, not necessarily, but I didn't expect to. The proposal introduced by the senator was new that day, and I thought that it might be a good way to get President Obama to actually take a more definitive stance on where he stands on investigating and or prosecuting former Bush administration officials, which is important cause to our readers. But he's been fairly evasive on it, and probably because he has to be at this juncture. So he didn't come down one way or another, and I was hoping he might be a bit more direct in his answer.
When he says My general orientation is to say, let's get it right moving forward. Some people have interpreted that as really very dismissive of any prosecution of Bush administration officials, even though he also invokes, you know, the premise that any laws that were broken need to be enforced and need to be addressed. But some people take him as very dismissive of that whole idea and of things like the Leahy proposal for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Do you hear him as just ducking, just trying not to take a stand? Because when you hear Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, she doesn't quite commit to it either, but she sounds much more like she wants to do something.
I think the political circumstances surrounding the president are different than the House Speaker or the Senator, obviously. And I think you made an important note, which is that while he may seem to have ducked that aspect of the question, he has committed himself to prosecuting illegalities when they come up. I talked to Senator Leahy last night after the news conference, and he said that Congress will very likely go ahead with investigations whether or not the Obama administration's on board. So that sets up a scenario in which Congress can actually come up with or overturn or find out some illegalities from the Bush years, and then Obama has committed himself to prosecuting them. So while he did duck a little bit on a definitive answer, I think he has set himself up for a curious situation in which Congress will provide the evidence and the DOJ will provide prosecution.
And before we bring Alessandra in, on this question of whether you should be introduced in a montage of the voices of power, you got to ask a question at this first primetime news conference. Little news organizations like Time and Newsweek and the Wall Street Journal did not. You used to report for Newsweek. Do you see your question as kind of a symbolic moment of power shifting from one sector of the press corps to another?
Not so much a shifting of power, but a realignment of the way we think of journalism. I've been asked this a lot, and I have to admit, I don't know if I have a great answer. But I do think that it does underscore how new media is going to play a role in this process going forward. And I have to say that, you know, while people have looked at my question as some sort of symbolic moment, it really is, you know, sort of the culmination of a lot of hard work by a ton of online reporters who have done this for a lot longer than I have. And I think it's a good thing that there's new media outlets asking questions, because the questions will be different and the material gleaned from the answers will be different. And I think that's always good.
So Alessandra Stanley, Chief TV critic for The New York Times. You reviewed the news conference in your TV Watch column. How'd Sam do?
Be kind, please.
He was fine. He was absolutely fine. I think you have to look at it, too, from whatever it says about old and new media. You have to also see what it says about the president and the fact that this President Obama was the first to call on an internet news organization is a way of his saying, look, I am the internet generation. I've got the BlackBerry and I've got the transparency on the internet. And it's partly what he wants to say about himself as much as about new media.
And we don't have a whole lot of time, but we can take some phone calls and web posts for Sam Stein from Huffington Post and Alessandra Stanley from The New York Times. 212-433-WNYC on the content, the substance, the media aspects. 212-433-WNYC this morning, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Our comments page always open. Alessandra, you wrote about a fundamental difference between President Bush's first primetime news conference, also during crisis just after 9/11, and this Obama one. And you saw it as about changing versus reinforcing who they were before. What did you see?
Well, what I saw was that these were actually, they were both, you know, starting out with a huge, unfathomable crisis on their hands, and the entire nation was watching, as you pointed out, with the ratings. But the situation was merely different in the sense that at that time, George Bush had to try to convince viewers that he had grown from this experience, had changed, was going to be a more serious person, a more sophisticated person to deal with this terrorist crisis. And it seemed that President Obama had to sort of say, look, despite everything on my desk, I am still the agent of change that you sent to Washington, and just because I'm sitting here in Washington doesn't mean I'm of Washington. And then, of course, he spent the day in Indiana, so as if to reinforce the point.
Sam, from our comments page, the first post, Willem from New Jersey writes, when will journalists stop asking questions about sports and problems in sports when the president has too much serious stuff to think of? This is because the Washington Post reporter asked him about A-Rod. Question posed by Washington Post journalist was laughable, writes this listener. Did it make you cringe to hear, scarce presidential news conference time taken up with that?
No, I understand where the reader's coming from, and from a personal standpoint, I wouldn't have asked that question, although I sort of jokingly told my editor I was going to do it before the news conference. You know, the president happens to be a big sports junkie, and for better or worse, the country is obsessed with baseball and sports, and A-Rod is the biggest figure in baseball. So I don't want to downplay the news value of this as a former sports writer in New York myself.
You were a sports writer.
I did. I interned at the New York Daily News and wrote sports, yes. So I can't criticize that question necessarily. I will say this. One of the interesting things about Obama from the press conference was that he took 13 questions, which is not a lot, but it's because he speaks so slowly and because he's so professorial sometimes with his answers. And so the opportunity to pose a question to him is a bit more limited than with the former president. Some reporters will have to realize that, you know, this is prime real estate right now, and we need to maybe not ask about A-Rod.
A lot of people noticed his long answers, and Alessandra, you reviewed the president's overall TV presence this week as good with plain language when he spoke before the crowd in Elkhart, Indiana, but reverting back to what you call technocratic tropes at the news conference, which is why you said he was leaving the big bank bailout speech to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. First, what do you mean exactly by technocratic tropes?
Well, you know, that he speaks a language when he's explaining, when he tries to explain too much in a press conference. So he'll go into the details of his program, and he'll start talking about, you know, medical records and things that, while people do need to know it, they don't need to know it right then. And so there he loses, I think, a lot of the audience when he goes on too long.
Now, you wrote that Monday night. Now that you've seen the Geithner speech, was it such a good idea to leave that to him?
Absolutely. No. I mean, I thought it was smart of him. Whoever made that speech was going to have a terrible time of it. So better for the president politically to distance himself a little bit, put himself somewhere else, and let poor Mr. Geithner take the heat first. And then he can always come back and sort of say, well, okay, well, we've heard these critiques and et cetera. But for him to have to go out there and defend it, I think would have been hard for him.
Did Geithner look any better to a TV critic than he did to the stockbrokers?
You know, I have to say, I didn't think he did that badly. He had a little trouble with the teleprompter. But I think it's very easy for experts and viewers and say, oh, not enough specifics. It's an easy way to say, I'm not quite sure I got it. Were there not enough specifics? Probably, but you can never expect that much in a television performance. I think his first part of his speech was pretty good. So I think it's just, you know, it's easy to kind of come up with, what is it? There was some Barclays analyst who called it shock and
Shock and
It's like they're doing our job. They're trying to find easy, facile ways to sum it up because they, too, have not absorbed it all.
Well, when we're done with you guys in about 5 minutes, we'll be asking investor Peter Schiff if he got it. So stay tuned for that. Bill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Huffington Post White House correspondent Sam Stein and New York Times TV critic Alessandra Stanley. Hi, Bill.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I just am wondering whether a White House press conference is really the appropriate forum for, you know, inviting someone with obviously a very liberal agenda from the Huffington Post. And also, you didn't note this, but Ed Schultz, who's a liberal talk show host from North Dakota, was seated in the front row. I'm just wondering if President Bush, for example, had invited Rush Limbaugh to sit in the front row, wouldn't we be talking about something different this morning?
Sam Stein?
Well, thanks for the question. It's a legitimate issue. I would have to say that I think my question stood for itself. It wasn't a softball. I wasn't there to give the president an easy pass. I didn't ask him about Alex Rodriguez.
No, but it was definitely a question from the left. And Huffington Post.
Can I interject here because sure. I think
well, hold on
Sam's
one
right.
second. Just let mm-hmm. me finish one thing. President Bush wouldn't have done it, I think, is a bit disingenuous considering he called on Jeff Gannon of Talon News, which was not a reputable news source at all, and Jeff Gannon turned out to be a male prostitute. I think that my question stood for itself, and I think we, the Huffington Post, have accrued enough respect in the news media to actually get the right to ask a question.
Alessandra?
I used to cover the White House 100 years ago, and I just, for the gentleman who asked the question, people are accredited to the White House, and news organizations who are accredited are allowed into these press conferences, and it is the president's choice to decide who he calls on, and as Sam just pointed out, he can call on people who can serve his own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he's inviting Rush Limbaugh. I mean, Sam is an accredited reporter in the White House.
Well, I think, Bill, the caller was talking about inviting Rush Limbaugh to sit in the front row, as Ed Schultz, liberal talk show host, was apparently invited to sit in the front row. So I think that was that part of the question. But Sam, I am curious how you see your role as a Huffington Post White House correspondent, because the other venerable institutions that got to ask questions, ABC News, the AP, mm-hmm. whoever, would describe themselves, I think, as trying to be neutral. Your
yeah.
question did have a progressive agenda. There's nothing wrong with that. But
sure.
do you see your role as different from if you were still at Newsweek or the Daily News, say?
Well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, we have a predisposition that's pretty well known, and we don't hide from it. I don't necessarily call myself a blogger. In fact, I've been trying to get people not to call me a blogger because I report out everything that I write, and I try to be as fair, not fair and balanced, but as fair as I possibly can be. And so when I get the opportunity to ask a question, I don't approach it from the same standpoint that someone from Newsweek would approach it. You know, we have interests that are different than Newsweek. We have topics that are more, you know, near and dear to our hearts. We consider objectivity a little bit different than Newsweek considers objectivity. So, you know, we could go on. I could probably mm-hmm. talk your ear off about this one because it's something that I've had a lot of discussion.
I get your answer, though.
Yeah.
What about that distinction that you just made, I think, between a blogger and a journalist? You're not a blogger
yeah.
because what you write is based on your reporting?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I do put up items that don't require me to reach out to sources, but I'd say 90% of the stuff I do is done with reporting. I call up sources. I look for information. Today we have a story up about a leaked conference call from Morgan Stanley and Smith Barney about a merger. We do journalistic enterprises here. And I don't know what the exact line of demarcation is between a reporter and a blogger, but there are reported blogs, and I think that's what I have at the Huffington Post.
Did you know, since the president was calling on reporters from a list he brought to the podium with him, did you know you were going to be called on?
Well, this is funny. I had a hint about an hour before the press conference, and I didn't think it was going to pan out to anything. I was alerted that it might happen, but I just was naturally skeptical. And then I was a little bit late getting there, so I was standing outside the White House gate at about 7:30 with the press conference about to start at 8. And I get a call, and it says, it's a White House press aide, and he says, "Where are you? We have a seat in the front row for you." And I said, "Oh, my God, I got to get inside." But it was a big, long line to get inside. So finally I made it in, and lo and behold, I had the seat. And then by then I said, well, this could be the real deal.
No,
but not until he said Sam Stein, Huffington Post, did I know that it was actually going to happen.
And Alessandra, the Wall Street Journal today criticized the way of selecting who asks questions. They say coming out with a predetermined list contrasts with the ethic of openness Obama is supposed to stand for. Honestly, I'm not sure I get that critique because it's autocratic no matter how a president decides. But what do you think?
Well, the Wall Street Journal, I don't think was called on, was it?
No, they weren't.
So, you know, I can understand
is it
how they
just,
feel.
Well, is it just sour grapes? Or,
well,
I mean,
it's sour grapes because it's in the sense that there's always got to – not everyone gets called on in these things, and it's usually the establishment. You know, it's the networks. It's the major newspapers. And some of the major newspapers were snubbed in favor of, you know, the Huffington Post, which I thought was, was something that Obama wanted to signal.
Sam, how were you tipped off?
How was I tipped off?
Yeah, that you were going to be called on?
Oh, I mean, again, I wasn't tipped off in the sense that they said you're going to get a question. They said there's a possibility. But, you know, any journalist who enters there without thinking there's a possibility shouldn't be entering there. Up until he actually said my name, I had no idea that it was going to actually happen. I had a set of prepared questions that I'd like to ask, but I was just assuming that, in fact, it wasn't going to happen because he had gone down the row for the first couple questions, and he stopped a person before me, so I assumed that was it for the row.
Stein and Alessandra, I'm sorry to say we have to leave it there. So we'll have to have you back. Alessandra Stanley, chief TV critic for The New York Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sam Stein, White House correspondent for The Huffington Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will talk to investor and investment advisor Peter Schiff next with reaction to the Geithner speech. Stay with us.